Welcome to Burn the Boats and Take Your Island. This is Charisse. If you remember, I have taken a couple of days off of journaling my retreat, my at-home retreat, my reset, my detox, my absolute begin from the beginning and start over again, taking care of myself, time for me. Time for me so that I can bring the best me that I can be to the world around me. Wow. That's all right. And that is the big reason for me doing this, is I knew that I was not being my best. And when I'm not my best, I can't serve people in the best way that I want to serve them. And actually, that might bring me to my topic today. Just interestingly, I was just going to check in and give you a little update on what has been going on since my last podcast episode. Excuse me. And I'll chat a bit about what's been on my mind. Well, so I think the last podcast I did was a couple of days ago, and I will let you know what happened since then. So this past weekend, which it's been, I think Friday was my last podcast episode. So this weekend, I just got really sick. And I think I need to reframe that. I wasn't sick. Let's just say I had some severe detox reactions. Now, I'm used to it. You might have heard die-off, detox, Herx, reactions. And these are all what that typically is, what detox, die-off, all of that, whatever you want to call it, whatever you've heard it being called. What it is that as your body starts cleansing and as you start to, how do I want to say this? I'm trying to think of how to say this, because it's not about killing off parasites or killing off fungi. Okay, I'm going to do a quick detour and then I'm going to come right back on to the main road. So we've been taught, really our whole lives for decades that parasites and that bacteria are bad for us and we have to kill them, right? And what I've learned, I remember knowing all about probiotics back in, in the early 2000s. And I mean, like really early. And I knew about them because I was severely ill. I think I mentioned that my husband was ill, which is how I found the GAPS protocol. But I was extremely ill in the year 2000. Multiple illnesses. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And I was told I would end up in a wheelchair in 10 years. That's what my doctor told me. And I just said, yeah, BS, that's not going to happen. That was not going to be the word that was spoken over by me, just because he had a white coat on and he had a couple of initials behind his name. Not going to happen. But anyway, I was. I could barely walk. I couldn't move my hands. It started off with, joint pain on bilateral on both sides of my body. And then just grew progressively worse. And then I also had IBS and I ended up having my gallbladder taken out, which if I knew then what I know now, I would never have had that done, right? It was no need to take out my gallbladder knowing what I know now. But at the time, I didn't know it. So I took out the gallbladder. You do the best you can with what you know. And so I also was diagnosed with OCD. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's obsessive compulsive disorder. It was quite debilitating. Really debilitating, and depression and anxiety. Now, a lot of this stemmed from trauma that had been coming up. I had a very close loved one of mine who had passed that devastated me. That was extremely devastating. And I think that started down my spin, into my world of illness. But it had been building up for many, 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 many years. And I won't go into all of the details right now. At some point, I will. Only not to, because my life is so important. But only to say, I've been there. If you're there, you can get out. It is not a death sentence for you. Whether it's anxiety or depression or physical ailment or whatever. Or any doctor, to me, it's a curse. But you know what? I don't believe in curses. Let me say that again. I do believe in curses, but I believe a curse is only as potent and powerful as the power we give it. You know, they say that words mean, you know, words carry energy. They do. Absolutely, they do, right? We hold the power of life or death on our tongue. However, we can choose to accept what someone says or to reject it. We can also choose to analyze it, right? And I actually have written on that. I'll share that with you at some point. It's called Reject, Accept, or Analyze. When someone gives you a critical word or, quote unquote, a curse, right? And I don't think the doctor was telling me that I had, you know, 10 years before I could, and I'd end up in a wheelchair. He's just a shitty doctor, excuse my language, but he was. But beyond that, I'm sorry for him, but I refuse to accept it. That's all. I just refuse to accept that. I was a dancer. I had been dancing for, you know, since I was a child. I was in my early 30s, right after the birth of my third baby. And that's when all these, you know, not quite after, but after, right, it was after the birth of my baby, about a year after. And that's when I started having all these problems. But I wasn't going to accept that. You know, I wasn't going to accept that I was not going to dance again. I wasn't going to accept that I couldn't walk. It just wasn't something I was going to accept. So I had to find other avenues. And so I looked at my diet. Again, even though I had trauma and I had a huge loss and I had a very traumatic childhood and all these things built up. And even though I think the loss of my dear loved one, like I said, I think it's kind of started my spin, but everything had been boiling and bubbling underneath for a long time, ever since I was a child. And I think when I lost her, it all just bubbled out. You know, it's kind of like a cap on a soda, right? You know, and you shake the soda or something, carbonated water, whatever you want to do. I don't drink soda, but I do drink kombucha. And it's the same idea, right? And all that pressure is building underneath that lid. And boy, something just pops open that lid and poof, right? You could have a kombucha bomb. I'll tell you about that. I actually had a bottle explode. And it's like, wow, now I know how to make a homemade bomb. And I think that's really what started it off, but it certainly wasn't the only problem. So I had all these psychological issues and all these physical issues anyway, but it was through educating myself, through diet, through changing my diet, which was paramount. I mean, that was the foundation of my healing. That's when I realized how important diet was, because I had grown up in the 80s and 90s and everything was no fat, skinless this, right? You know, having pickles on your salad. I think I mentioned that, to make your salad taste so good because you weren't letting yourself have fat or anything, right? So that's how I had eaten for decades, right? And so it caught up with me. Plus, that isn't the only way. Then, of course, I was a binge eater. So I would eat really clean, quote unquote clean, right? With all the vegetables and lean meats and all that. But then, you know, then I'd scarf down a bag of Reese cups, you know, at night or whatever, right? So obviously I wasn't healthy. I was fit in the sense because I was always physically active, but I wasn't healthy. Okay, let's get back on track. So when I got sick, early 2000s, before I really knew anything about anything, and this is before I don't even think GAPS was out yet. I think I was before GAPS. I think Nourishing Traditions has just coming out, but I looked at the Nourishing Traditions book and I went, oh my God, I can't do this. I don't even know how. I never learned how to cook, right? I never, ever learned how to cook. So that cookbook was just too daunting. I had it and I looked at the premise of the foods and so forth and so forth, but I couldn't do it. But I did do what's called an anti-candida diet or anti-fungal diet, right? No grains at all. Cut them all out. And to this day, I'm not really into grains. But no grains, no sugars, no fruits except for maybe grapefruit, some berries, not strawberries, but blackberries, raspberries, blueberries, and green apples. That was the only fruit that I allowed myself to have on this. And then completely cut out all grains, noodles, breads, and no sugar altogether. I did use stevia, right? That time, stevia was not allowed on the shelf with all the other, you know, sugar substitutes. You had to find it in the supplement aisle. But yeah, so I started using stevia way back when. Okay. And I started using probiotics. I had learned about probiotics. Now, this is how behind the medical industry is behind the health industry. Isn't that funny? I don't equate medical with health, but it's not. They're not the same. So when my dad had gotten into an accident, severe accident back in 2010, so this is 10 years after I had begun my journey of healing and I was well and I was on my feet and doing all the things I'd gotten. I had completely recovered. Anyway, I'll go into that later date, but how that all happened. But when my dad got his accident, they had him on antibiotics, right? And so I had asked the nurse, I said, how soon, this is how ignorant I was about the medical system. Well, I wasn't and I was. You know, I knew that I didn't buy their BS, but I didn't realize they were so uneducated beyond the BS, okay? I guess that I was shocked. So when I told the nurse, I asked the nurse, I said, okay, when I was, he was getting discharged, I said, so he's on the antibiotics for whatever it was. And I said, when should he begin his probiotics? And she looked at me with this like crazy, like, what are you talking about? What? Probiotic? I don't know what a and I looked at her and I went, oh, now this is 10 years after I had been taking them. This is 10 years after I had learned from about probiotics, okay? And I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm just kind of looking, this is shocking, right? And they already had studies on bacteria in the gut and so on and so forth. That was all going out into the NIH and all these studies about that. How do you not know this? Anyway, I was shocked. I was surprised and further confirmed, actually, I shouldn't say, was I shocked and surprised? No, maybe not. Maybe I was, you know, I always say, you know, I don't always trust anything and then I'm disappointed when I'm found out to be right. So, you know, I didn't trust the medical establishment. I mean, I was there with my dad when he got into his accident. I was there every day. And thank God I was, because if you do not have an advocate, if someone, one of your loved ones is in the hospital, you have to make sure you have an advocate. Oh, that was crazy just in itself. I don't want to get too off track. These are stories I can tell, share for another day. But anyway, back to the probiotic deal, because that's where I'm going with this. So anyway, I was just further confirmed that the medical industry, and God bless good doctors. I know there are good doctors, and I have such a respect for nurses, such a respect. They are the hardest working people, and I totally have a respect for that. And at the same time, I think that, you know, the medical, you know, industrial complex is completely just about keeping you sick. I'm not saying individual doctors and nurses are. We know that plenty of them aren't, because they lost their licenses, they spoke up, and they left the medical industrial complex during the, you know, the pandemic, right? So I know there are good doctors and nurses and medical professionals out there. It's unfortunate, though, that they're in a corrupt system. That's what's unfortunate. But this confirmed that this system is corrupt, and this system isn't about healing and health. It's really about sickness and maintaining illness. Oh, did I say that? I did say that. Because basically what the, you know, hang on, you know, come on, let's be real. They don't make any money if you're well. They don't make any money if you don't come into the doctor's office and pay them a visit and to get your antibiotic or whatever it is. You know, I remember when my kids were little and I did the whole wellness checkup, and I had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful pediatrician. Actually, the whole office was great. And she was a Christian. I believe the whole office was Christian, but I know she definitely was. And she was a homeschooling mom on top of being a doctor. And she was wonderful. I mean, she was such a blessing. And she knew that I was not into the vaccines. I didn't do childhood vaccines. Now, I did some with my firstborn before I knew better, and then less with my secondborn. And then by my third, it was like, yeah, not. And then basically we stopped. I stopped after she was born. We pretty much just stopped. And and she, of course, had an obligation to tell me about the vaccinations, right? That's her obligation. And I would sit there and I'd think about it, and I'd test my heart, you know, this is before I knew exactly how dangerous. Now, of course, I wouldn't think twice, but you know, back then you're still kind of weighing it. And I was just like, yeah, no, I don't think so. And that was it. She said, okay. And then eventually she got to the point, she goes, I know, I just have to tell you this. And I said, okay. And I'm just going to say no. And she's like, okay. And that was it. She was great. But she was so surprised. She would say, she would look at her chart when I would come in to see her. And she would be like, oh, I haven't seen you in a year. And I'm like, are you supposed to? She's like, no, it's just like, it's very rare that I don't have, you know, kids that I see certainly more often than, you know, on their wellness checkup day. And I went, okay. I'm sorry to hear that, I guess, maybe. Oh, I'm sorry for the parents and the kids, but, you know, again, that's how doctors make money, right? But, I mean, I don't know, when my kids were sick, I didn't treat them with Tylenol. You know, I didn't do these things. I kept them, you know, cool with a wet rag. I mean, I was old school, you know, and I would sleep beside them and I would make sure that they're, yeah, it was a lot more work than just giving them a Tylenol, but I knew that the Tylenol was poison. And I don't know where I'm going to post this podcast and I'll probably get censored and kicked off, but whatever, I don't care. Hell with it. You know, if you want to follow me and you'd like to me to continue, then just join, sign up to my website and all this will be loaded on my website and that's mine, right? I know that that's going to be protected because we also have a web host that believes in free speech. So moving on back to what I was talking about. Okay. So about probiotics. Anyway, so bacteria and viruses. Yeah, this is where we started. Or not bacteria, not viruses. I'm not going to touch that right now, but bacteria, and fungus. So, you know, we've been taught that, oh my gosh, we have to, you know, bacteria or parasites and all these things are so bad for us, right? And the thing is are they really? Or are they in us because they serve a function? And this is the new research that's coming out, is based on the terrain theory, which is the theory that we work on the terrain, the inner body, the body, what's going on inside of us. And if we keep that healthy and that body maintains balance, homeostasis, and it's really the terrain is why we get sick, because the terrain is sick. The terrain is poisoned. The terrain is toxic. The terrain has been exposed to something. And I don't mean like an infection, like a virus. I mean exposed to poisons or toxins of some sort, metals, whatever. So the terrain stays healthy. We stay healthy. It's not some outside, you know, villainous virus that's coming to get us. It's what's happening inside us that will determine our illness or our health. So when it comes to fungus or parasites or bacteria, what have you, are they really the enemy? And the new research is showing that, no, they're not. They actually have a job to perform, and that job maybe is protecting us from toxins in our body. For instance, there are certain, fungus, for instance, will actually wrap up metals, I'm going to use the word body for lack of a better term, around metals. And like a donut, they wrap themselves around a metal to protect the body from these metals being lodged in our tissues or in our brain, right? So this fungus is actually benefiting us. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't cause us problems, because like all living things, you know, they poop and they fart and they excrete. And so those excretions could cause us illness. But them in themselves are actually performing a function. Now, when we clean up the terrain, we clean up the inner body, then the fungus or the parasites or what have you, they're not needed anymore. And eventually they'll either, you know, become very, very benign and friendly and just chill, or they'll get flushed out of the body. So this past weekend, going back to the topic of this conversation, this past weekend, I was feeling really ill. I'm going to quote unquote on that, ill. And I wasn't ill, but what I was I was detoxifying. And I realized that I was feeling all these detox sensations. So what does detox sound like or feel like, whatever? Well, you know, when you're detoxing, you have detox reactions, then you could get headaches, right? And I had that. Well, that was after the bread. So actually, sometimes it can be a little confusing. It could actually be, you know, you might be something that you ate that is toxic that could be causing problems. But if you're kind of cleansing and you're doing all the things and you start to develop these new symptoms, then typically that's really a detox reaction. So I was having headaches and I just was having, not feeling well. My stomach wasn't feeling well. And my muscles were achy and not from different kind of muscle. Like, you know, the difference between a worked out muscle and a flu-y like muscle pain, right? Soreness. So it was like that. And so I thought, okay, you know, I started stage two of the GAPS. Hold on, let me let this car pass. And then I'm just going to chill out. So I did. I just rested. I listened to my body. What my body was telling me is, we're working, we're repairing. So how about you just relax? How about you just chill out and relax, read a book, you know, and do all the things that you were going to do on this retreat so we can do what we're supposed to do. And so that's what I did. So over the weekend, I did nothing. I just read some books. I took some detox baths, all the things that I did. And I really just listened to my body. I went for walks, but when my body said, yeah, we're done, I listened to it and I went down and I rested. And that, you know, is what I did. I listened intuitively to what my body was telling me it needed. So come today. So that was over the weekend and actually lasted, this is Tuesday, lasted on Monday. So 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah. And I feel so much better today. I'm feeling great again. I got my energy back again. So I think, you know, and I had some really good cleansing moments, if you know what I mean. And I feel really good. So I think my body was busy doing some repair that it was wanting to do for quite some time. So I'm very thankful for that. So we're back in the game, right? So today I'm going to continue with stage two. I don't know how long I'll stay on stage two. You know, I can tolerate. Typically, you stay on a stage when you're doing the GAPS protocol. You stay on a stage for as long as you can tolerate the foods at the amounts that are recommended. So if you can, then you're ready to move on to the next stage. Your body is healed up enough that you can now move forward. But stage two is so nutritiously complete that some people stay on it for their lives. Some people that schizophrenia, bipolar, I'm using this as diagnosis, even though I don't really like using diagnostic terms because I don't necessarily believe in them, but just for ease of conversation. And so, or with very severe autistic cases, stage two is it's complete. So people can stay on it indefinitely. So I don't know if I'll do that, but I thought, well, let me just keep it here for a little while since I just came off this detox, you know, reaction time over the weekend. And then we'll see. We'll see when I'm ready to jump forward to stage three. Anyway, I think that's enough for today. I know I was going to go elsewhere. I was going to go to the place where, why am I doing this, right? And what is keeping me committed? Because it's not myself. You know, it's very easy for us to let ourselves down. You know, we may be super, and I can tell you personally for me, I am, in my past, if I was just doing it for me, like if I was just doing something because I wanted it, and it really had no real great, outcome other than for my own selfish reasons, my own personal reasons. Not that there's anything wrong with being selfish once in a while, but for my own personal reasons, I'd let myself down. Because it's very easy to let yourself down. Oh, you know, I'll do this tomorrow. Or, oh, what's one little bite? You know, whatever, right? We all do it. Well, I shouldn't say we all. I do it. Maybe you do it too. But when we have a greater why, and this is that why worksheet that is on my website that's free. If you sign up for my newsletter, you'll get that, finding out what your greater why is. And the greater why is usually not, doesn't just include you. I mean, you're part of it, obviously, but it's because you want to contribute to something greater than you. And for me, it's my work. It's work when I work with people, but it's my family. It's the legacy I leave. And that's why I run my program. It's called the Leading Lady Solution, because I want you to become the leading lady and the legacy builder for generations to look back on and go, that's where we came from. And I truly believe, and as I say on my website, and as I say, you live the legacy you leave. If you want to leave a great legacy, then live one today. So what keeps me motivated? It's not just me. It doesn't motivate me enough. But give me a reason, my children, my grandchildren, the people that I serve, that I want to help, the ways that I want to contribute in this, on this earth while I'm still on this earth. I need the energy. I need the health. I need the vitality to do so. And when I remember that's my why, then yeah, it's easy to commit because it's not about willpower. Willpower is a short, accelerator. Man, it'll kick you in the butt and get you moving. But what won't keep you moving? You know, you have to be motivated by something greater. You have to have a purpose. You have to have a purpose. So what's your purpose? What is your purpose? And I don't mean your life's purpose. Everybody's like, what's my life's? I don't know. I still don't even know what my life's purpose is. I know what my purpose is in the now. And if I follow the purpose that I'm doing in the now, then in the end, when I see all the stitches and all the pieces that come together, I'll say, oh, that must have been my life's purpose. But I don't worry about what my life's purpose. I've done that when I was little. And then my life was like, oh, that was for a time. It's no longer my life's purpose anymore. So, but what is your purpose in the now? I think it's a lot easier to ask. What do you feel is calling on you? What do you feel is just itching at you? Or like what God does to me, it keeps poking me in the shoulder, pestering me. Is God pestering you to do something? And if he is, why does he want you to do it? What is the purpose in it? All right, I've talked long enough, but if you're interested in kind of delving deep and you'd love to try that, the greater why, your why worksheet, go on to chariseparviz.com, sign up for the newsletter. And there's not only that freebie, which is a worksheet that you can get right off my website, but there's other worksheets on my website too. And enjoy, and I will talk to you soon. All right, burn the boats, baby, and take the island. Bye-bye.